Hello, my name is Shruka Lata and I am an engineer by day and belly dancer by night. Recently, I was named as one of the top young engineers in the UK, which was not something that I could have ever imagined when I was younger because, well, engineers normally look nothing like me. So in this series, I will interview some badass engineers who smash through those stereotypes. She's a badass
engineer. Today's guest is Anouk Wiprecht, fashion designer, roboticist, technologist, and innovator.
Welcome to the final episode of Badass Engineers. I'm Shruka Lata, an electronics engineer consultant, and your host and Badass Engineers is, as always, powered by Aris Grassroots Education, powering tech, empowering youth. And today, I have somebody I've been following since 2015, and I can't believe that she's here with me today. Hello, Anouk. Hi, Anouk.
Hey there.
I'm so excited I get to see you. Could you introduce yourself to everybody?
Yeah, I am a Dutch fashion tech designer, so I combine fashion and technology. I have been doing that for the last 22 years. In the beginning of 2000, computers were like super, super big. And computers are like new and now super, super small, and you can easily integrate them in electronics. So that brings up that opens up a lot of like interesting ways that you can use electronics. So that is what I have been doing. And I create things from like wearable robotics to all kinds of like weird science experiments on the body and all of that. And then, I also try to be a little bit like educative, open source, getting more, especially girls and females into technology and engineering. That's why I like your show so much, of course. So that's what I do.
Honestly, just so excited to have you here. And I just wondered, so how did you get into this? Because it's such an excellent, rare combination of tech and fashion. So I know that you've had some amazing partnerships with companies like Intel, Microsoft, Audi, and I think you've done something for Lady Gaga as well.
I worked with a few like celebrities in like I used to live in Los Angeles for a while. How I got into this is I got into fashion design because I like the way that people express themselves by the use of garments. You can like culturally or emotionally or personally, you know, you can explain so much by the things that we're wearing, right? And I thought that was really fascinating, so I got into fashion design. So like constructing garments and all of that stuff. And at one point, for me, the garments were not doing enough. Like they were analog to me. And I also liked robots. So I wanted to combine the robots and the garments sort of, you know. So I started to merge that together. So that is basically what I've been doing. My first things that I started to do were like, making fabrics move, making them light up, making them make sounds. And that got wilder and wilder to, fully robotic garments that you can wear.
Oh my God. So like when you started back in, 2000, there wasn't really much dev kits around, right? There weren't really, Arduinos or anything like that.
Yeah, correct. I again like big computers on the body. Actually, through Arduino, I have one here. A great platform to start with if you want to do anything like this. Arduino, like in 2005-ish, they started to bring out these computer boards, and I read about it in the paper, I think, or something like that. And I was like, oh shit, I need to go either to Italy or to Sweden because that's where they were like promoting it, and there was a study interaction design, and that is how I got with David Quartilas. He was one of the guys who like Massimo Bonzo and all of the stuff. And that is how I got to work with like a computer board that was like smaller that I could put into garments and all of that stuff. So, and that's that really made like my life much easier that way. So yeah, mm-hmm. Again, like Arduino is a great platform to start with if you haven't. So that's good to check out.
How do you choose which microcontroller to work with? So for example, how do you choose if it's an Arduino or a different dev kit as well?
It depends. It really depends. Mostly if I want to open source designs, it's like Arduino, Raspberry Pi. I've currently a design with a bunch of screens that needs like a Raspberry Pi. Other things you cannot really do with a Raspberry Pi. Sometimes you need like your own controller. So it's really like really different if you want to connect to like certain sensors or lights or motors. And also the format, the size of the board itself, you know. So that is the choice that you're making when you're designing for that. Like, what does this need, right? I use a bunch of different things, and then also custom make my own boards.
Wow, that's so cool. And I wanted to let everybody know, if you have any questions, leave them in the comments and we'll do our best to answer them live. I have a ton of questions because I've had tons of questions that I've been saving up since 2015, right? Okay, we have loads of questions in here. This is the Badass Engineers bag and we've got loads of questions. So are you ready for a question out of our Badass Engineers bag?
Sure.
Okay. Ooh, two questions came out. Okay. Right hand or left hand?
Right one.
Okay, right one. Okay, this one is my right one. I know it might look like it's my left one, but it's my right one. Okay. It's about the spider dress. I love the spider dress. So it says, the spider dress is a notable example of your work featuring sensors and movable arms to define personal space. How does this dress reflect your vision of using technology to augment human interactions with the environment?
The spider dress is really interesting. It's a dress with mechanic legs on the shoulders, and it has a proximity sensor, an ultrasonic rangefinder, so it measures up to like 28 feet, and it measures the personal space, or the intimate space, the personal space, the social space, and the public space around the design. And when you step into the personal space, or in any of these spaces, the dress is reacting in something that I call 12 states of behavior. So different ways it reacts to the people coming into that space. It's one of my favorite designs. I have a few of them. I'm busy with a new one. I have a black version that was laser cut in 2010, one with Intel, a 3D printed one in 2015. And now I'm bringing out a new one soon. that's going to be like more advanced. The spider dress series is like just really fun because it combines the mechanics of a spider and the behavior of a cat. If you come too close to a cat, it would claw you, and it's hosted on a human body, right? Yeah. So it's this really wild idea, sort of. So I really love it very much. And yeah, it's really about like the personal space. And the funny thing for me is like while traveling around with this design, I can see that if I present it in America, people have a certain space around the design. But if I present it in the Netherlands, people come very fast, very close by. And the dress is always in a reactive state. So like from culture to culture, there's just so much difference in between these spaces that we hold for each other, right? And that is kind of the interesting thing about that project for me. And often also like when you're creating these things, you think that they work out a certain way, but it's just such a joy to present them and to get this kind of feedback. And that is for me what it is about. Raise certain questions that make this instrument, then it goes live into the world and you get these results back, for example, measuring personal space, right? So that's quite unique, what I think that you can do when you combine electronics on the body.
Oh my God, that is so cool. That's so cool. Can we like swap places? Can we swap places, please? So I'm sort of well known in the engineering world as somebody who always overdresses. I am very proud of it. I'm very proud overdresser, glamorous, but I don't always want to talk to people. I want to always look glamorous, but I don't always want people to come and talk to me. So I'd love to wear that spider dress to be like, yes, I am glamorous, but don't come too close. Don't come too close. I need my personal space today, but you can look at me from afar.
Yeah. Well, if you're ever in America, we can meet up. You can fit some of the dresses and play with them.
Ah, yes, please. Well, if you ever come to the UK either, I'm actually always in the Netherlands as well. So, you know, we'll have to meet up.
Sounds good.
Okay, so let's put that question back in the bag. Let's see if it comes out. Ooh. Not sure. Ooh, I like this question. So it says, how much time did it take for you to reach your current position? And what was the most significant obstacle you faced?
That's a good question. I think making in the beginning, I had all these weird ideas when I was like younger. I was like 14, 15, 16, 17 about the way I wanted to combine fashion and technology. I didn't have the means yet maybe to show it and all of that stuff. So really like building, prototyping, mocking up, just that whole process was just really interesting and really important for me to learn, because then I was like, hey, this is what I mean, right? And I'm very visual and I want to like present it in certain ways. So I think that is one thing. Another thing is growing up in a technology culture which is mostly male based, which I don't have a problem with men at all because they're super awesome, but it is a little bit hard then when you have certain ideas and you're busy with robotics and all of that stuff to always have to like prove yourself. Now it's a little bit better. But especially in the beginning of 2000, it was just a very bro-y culture, sort of, you know. So that's definitely something that is still there. And this is also one of the reasons that I'm always fighting to get more girls into technological positions and to play in this field, and just to show how fun engineering and electronics can be, you know, because we think it's 2023, it should be 50-50. It's not yet, right? And that's a very serious problem, I think. That's basically what still is a big fight, sort of.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if it's worse in the UK or the US, I can't remember, but in the UK, when I started out as an electronics engineer in 2013, the figure was 8% of women were in engineering. And now I think the figure that we are celebrating today is 16%. That's what we're celebrating today, 16%. We've got a really long road ahead, and it just can't happen at this pace. You know, it's never going to happen in our lifetime to reach 50-50.
Yeah.
Should we take another question from Rebecca?
All right, let's go.
Ooh, this one's a big one. Ooh, what does it say? It says, ooh, your designs include body sensors that monitor stress levels. Can you delve into how these sensors work and the impact they have on the overall user experience of your creations?
Yeah, got it. Okay, cool. So basically what I do is like a few things. I measure the proximics, which we like the surroundings, like proximity sensors, thermal sensors. You can use a camera, which is a little bit like invasive. I rather use sensors because they're less invasive. The other thing that you can think of is sensing the body, and that's also what I do. So you can think of measuring, for example, the heartbeat, right? For example, EMG, muscle contraction, galvanic skin response, respiration, the way you breathe. So there's different ways that you can measure. Also the brain you can measure. So I've been doing a bunch of projects with BCIs, brain-computer interfaces. The field of neuroscience is really interesting if you measure the brain and you do things with that. So here I have a BCI that will come out soon, but it's a four-sensor BCI on the ground here. So it's the unicorn. It's a new version. Yeah, so it's really cute. It's with the company G-Tech, and we already had a former version, but this band is kind of really cool because you can easily like put it on, sort of, you know, and the movement and all of that stuff. Brain signals, measuring them is really fun because you can do a lot with it. You can measure cognitive load, which in my last project, you can measure like focus, when you're focused, when you're not focused, you know. And there's just a bunch of different things that you can measure from the brain, which goes a little bit more into measuring like emotions or how you're doing, right? And your stress levels. So yeah, measuring stress levels in the body is just like really exciting to me because even us, we think that we are so cool and so in control over ourselves. But often like the problems that we have, especially for example, mental health crisis is on the rise, is because we are not holding space for ourselves, and we just do too much, right? And if you have a Garmin that can tell you like, hey, it's fine, it's good, or hey, you're getting a little bit too stressed, right? All of that stuff, I think that's always
a good
way. Yeah. Beep beep beep, sort of, and like, yeah, just take a second to kind of relax and reflect back on certain things, because we live in such a rapid pace because of technology, right? And then technology, often what I always say, came into the world to help us, but currently it really overwhelms us, right? So how can we think of ways and interfaces or dresses or whatever you can think of that can basically like slow us down by really monitoring the body and the stress and all of that stuff, for example. That's a quite interesting thing what you can do with body sensors and then with fashion, I think, as well.
Wow, what I love about your work is that it's obviously very artistic, and it's also very deeply technical as well. It's such a powerful combination. Do you find that that helps maybe get people interested in engineering who don't normally see themselves reflected in engineering?
I get a lot of emails of people that have from mental health issues, like anxiety, stress, depression, to physical disabilities, being differently abled in terms of multiple sclerosis or prosthetic legs, prosthetic arms. So there's a bunch of different people that I often get like emails from, like talking about things that solutions in the wearable scene maybe can help them, right? The spider dress is interesting because a lot of people that are bad sighted, so they have maybe a vision of 5%, 10%, 15%, they have a really big problem with personal space, for example, again, talking about personal space. And for a lot of people, the spider dress is interesting, or a system that can grab out and that can tell other people to a little bit back off and, hey, I need my space. To people that are... anxious a lot, having to live in big cities, for example, and want kind of to find a solution in more like wearables and such things, you know. To people that really want to use them to be expressive, that want to show their heartbeat, that want to show how their brain works and all of that stuff, you know. So there's always a lot of different like emails that I get from people, personal emails with personal stories, and that they share with me why a certain design is like really interesting for them, you know. So that's kind of always cool to get. And sometimes also then to help, like, hey, maybe we can make you a little prototype or a little mock-up sort of, you know.
Oh, really? Wow, that's amazing. What are some examples of some of those people who you collaborated with?
There was a child who had like an he needed to wear like a prosthetic arm that he didn't like the shape of, sort of. He didn't want to have a hand. So what kind of other solutions can you like think of? Currently busy with like multiple projects, like people wanted an harness for a rat that is detecting bombs in Africa, for example, you know. So they saw solutions into like more of these wearable things and wearable sensors and making products like small enough. So there will be soon not only people with dresses, but also a rat with a little rat harness walking around in Africa, sniffing up bombs because they're lighter. Wow. So that the bombs don't get go off, sort of, you know. So there's people. I designed a cane for somebody that wanted a nice kind of cane because the canes that he had to walk with were like just really ugly. There's always like different ways to play around with that, which is always fun.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, who in the city world have you had the chance to collaborate with?
One interesting person in the field of people that are differently abled is Victoria Modesta. I don't know if you know her. She is she used to live in London. She's now in Los Angeles, and she's a bionic pop artist. She has a prosthetic leg, and she has been creating all these crazy legs for many, many years. She lost her leg pretty early on in life, and she didn't want to use normal, like the status quo normal prosthetic leg, and she really wanted to show it instead of hiding it, right? So I had the pleasure to work with her like since 2015, I believe, and we created like multiple legs. Some have one has a little Tesla coil in there with electricity, like a Jacob's ladder effect going through it. Others light up. One makes music. So there's like a bunch of like, I think we made like 8 legs together, and it's always really fun to work with Victoria because you can put a lot of electronics in her missing leg, right? And she's just super, super badass. She wears everything and she has all these wild ideas, sort of, you know. So it has been really a pleasure to work with her. So definitely look her up. Her name is Victoria Modesta.
Victoria who?
Victoria Modesta.
Victoria Modesta. Okay. We'll all look her up after this. I know we're running out of time, but do we have time for one more question?
Sure.
Okay, let's see. Okay, our last question for the episode. Okay. Well, we've kind of touched up a little bit on that, but it says, could you share some of your most notable achievements up to now, and what are the projects you're currently working on? Can we get some inside scoop of what you're doing next?
I just released an project. It's called Screen Dress, and it has these HyperPixel 2.0 screens from Pimaroni and Raspberry Pis on the back. And it works on the BCI, the brain computer interface. So I did a little tour with it throughout Europe with different people. It's especially important when different people like wear it, sort of, you know. But it's a dress that has these screens, round screens and eyes, and the pupils go more open the more workload is being detected. So the more cognitive load in the BCI from the BCI, Brain Computer Interface site. And that's kind of really cool because it's these eyes that the pupils are getting bigger and smaller. And you can see the reactions from the people wearing it and how that's reactive. So that's one of my new favorite designs. And it was also right in time for Halloween. So my next step is going to put googly eyes in there. And I have my Halloween outfit ready. Another project comes out next week with Arduino, so using an Arduino board, but it's a project that I try to open source. A lot of students that I work with, they have problems with making things move and all of that stuff, and they end up strapping a servo to fabric, and it just doesn't look well. So I made these parts that you can put into a dress, and that you can make move, and then you can connect whatever you want to it, like it can be fabric, or feathers, or leaves, or a lot of students always want to connect things to it while they're still learning technology. So it's parts that I'm gonna open source. So that's gonna come out next week, and then the week after at Form Next in Germany, I believe in the beginning of November, comes a new dress out that is fully 3D printed on the fabric with lights and also detection of persons in front of it. So every 2 weeks I have now a new dress coming out, which is fun but also really stressful. But it's definitely non-stop robotic dressmaking, which I guess is really fun. Yeah, it's good.
Yes. It's beyond my understanding how you can create a dress every 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
I also saw your schedule. You're flying out all the time. You're flying to multiple countries a month.
Yeah, it's great. Like, software is so easy nowadays, from 3D modeling software to PCB design software to coding and all of that stuff. It's very easy. It's very fun. 3D printers are everywhere or easy to use and all of that stuff. So it's really like all the things that I didn't have at the beginning of 2000s, they are here now, and it's just fantastic. And I'm enjoying so much of it, So it's my biggest hobby, and it's also my work. So it's great.
Oh, it really is everybody's dream to make their hobby their work. And you've made that work so beautifully, with designs that are recognizable worldwide. What an amazing achievement.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you for inspiring me back in 2015. And I can't believe I get to have you as my guest for the season finale. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's great work that you're doing. Education is super important, especially here in America. But it's really nice, all the people that you have on the show and just the work that you do and connecting everything together. So thank you so much for that.
No, thank you. Hopefully this is the start of a long relationship. Hopefully, I hope. I wish. Thank you for your time. Thank you for being here. And thank you so much for RS Grassroots Education, for powering tech and empowering youth. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the entire season and for being here for the episode finale. This is the final episode. Thank you so much. Over and out. Bye, Masalama.
Badass Engineers was created and hosted by Shruga Attar. Sponsored by RS Grassroots Education. Powering tech, empowering youth. Today's guest is Anuk Whiprecht, fashion designer, roboticist, technologist, and innovator.